Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
If you follow the outline that we've had and we put into the bulletin with the three-month calendar, we're on saving and investing. I was going to go to budgeting, but I thought, you know, we really do need this. And so we're going to do this lesson on saving and investing from a biblical perspective. And so let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless in our time that we have together. Obed, would you pray for our lesson, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity today to allow us to worship with you. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We pray this morning to continue working on our lives, in our hearts, and our minds, so we can walk across near to you. We pray for the pastor to help with wisdom and give the knowledge about the word. Jesus, that my friend.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, here we are looking at our next lesson, and we continue. It's a very practical part of the lesson, and you remember we had started off by looking at perspective and then looking at principles and practice. We're going to combine some principles and practice together today in looking at the topic of saving and investing. And while we addressed these terms in an earlier lesson, here we're going to deal with them more in depth. Now, these two terms, saving and investing, may seem to be the same thing. However, there is a difference. And knowing these differences will help you to make financial decisions for both. Here's the key: short-term emergencies and long-term, and I'll use the word retirement. And that's what we're really looking at. And by the way, when you're looking at saving and investing, you can also look at other stewardship matters that God has given to us. Okay, we can save time. We can save on various and other things that we have. But for today's lesson, we're going to primarily focus on finances and money. So let's start by defining the terms. And so when you do, defining the term saving and investing follows biblical principles and examples to faithfully manage. And it is, saving and investing is a management tool that God has given to us. And so let's look at some of these verses. Many of them we've already looked at, but who would take Proverbs 6, 6 through 8? Jonathan, Matthew 6, let's do 19 through 21 and then verse 33. Who would do that? All right, Gary, 19 through 21, 33. The in-between parts are also important, but for today, we'll actually just read the whole thing, 19 through 33. Luke 16, 10 and 11. All right, Denise. And then Luke 19, 23 through 27, Jack. And then 1 Corinthians 4, 2, Jim. All right. So let's read them all in a string. While you may not see the words saving and investing here, you definitely see either principles or examples in there. So Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, please.
Go to the end, O sluggard. Consider the ways to be wise. Without having any chief officer, she prepares her bread in summer. Gathers your food
and harvest. All right. And then going to Matthew 6, 19 through 33.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto the stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? For wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you.
Yeah, lengthy passage, but definitely a lot of principle and a lot of good advice, counsel, and action that we need to take there. Luke 16, 10 and 11, please.
He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit to your trust the true riches?
All right, thank you. And then Luke 19, 23 through 27, the parable of the talents.
Why then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with interest? Said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, unto everyone who hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies who would not that I should reign over them, bring here and slay them.
All right. And 1 Corinthians 4:2, you might want to put a circle around this one, because this is kind of the watershed verse for the entirety of this point. 1 Corinthians 4:2.
Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful.
All right. So when you think of these verses and think of managing God's resources, just remember something, that it's God's money. And that, again, goes back to perspective. And you're responsible and accountable to govern on his behalf. So remember something, you're handling, you are managing, you are stewarding his money. Therefore, you're to be using his money as a tool and instrument for his purposes and approved ways that he has. Our monies are not to be used for any activities that would promote the kingdom of the devil. We are never doing anything to even promote ourselves. It is always for the glory of God, because it's his money. And he's only going to give you so much. And the verses that were read, you're faithful in that which is least, you'll be faithful in that which is much. And there is indeed the coming accountability. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that's what we will hear, as we would be good, faithful stewards even of his finances. Now, when it comes to saving and investing, there are principles, there's examples. The example that I can look back to is Joseph. Do you remember? Joseph was given a forewarning, actually through the Pharaoh, in a dream. There's going to be 7 years of plenty. But following that, there's going to be 7 years of famine such that you're going to forget about the plenty. So what do? Joseph prescribes to the Pharaoh, set aside someone who's wise and save. Lay up, be prepared. An emergency is coming. A crisis is going to happen. And in the midst of it, you cannot get more because you don't have the wherewithal to even get some. Because the famine means crops, harvest. And just remember, in this agronomist society, much of their wealth was determined by their harvest and their grains and their produce. So if you don't have that, where are you going to go? We are spoiled today because we have pantries and we have freezers and we have grocery stores and we have 24/7. If you run out of something, you can quickly achieve and get what you need. However, what happens if we enter a serious crisis, a famine, or a certain food shortage? Then you're going to find that, whoa, it's good to save. Now, not only is it good to save food, but then we also save when it comes to money matters and such, because in short crisis times, increase the prices. Anybody see the price of eggs lately? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's one of the principles. You save, you invest, you're putting aside for when an emergency comes, which is coming up in a moment. And when you think of the ants, and Solomon, this was coming from Wednesday night's message of Solomon's wisdom. And he had an understanding of the entire animal kingdom, of the trees and the plant kingdom and everything else. And he uses the ants to provide for you and me a lesson on saving, a lesson on stewarding. And that is something which in America, or actually the whole Western culture, is deficient in doing, and that is putting aside saving. You get over into the Orient, or you get over to the Pacific Rim, and you see some of those countries, specifically like Japan and others, they are leading the world when it comes to saving. Why? Well, maybe it's because after World War II, they really entered into some crises and they realized, wow, we need to. We've come through a Great Depression almost 100 years ago now, and it's very much forgotten except for those who might still be surviving it. And that really did engender a lot of saving and a lot of investing, because we don't want to go through something like that again where you have nothing. You don't have. All right? So the perspective, saving and investing, you got to have the right perspective. Now, number two, saving and investing avoids both presuming upon God's promised goodness. Hey, he's going to provide. I can just eat, drink, and be merry. God's going to take care of me. That's a foolhardy philosophy. Or procrastinating. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll start saving tomorrow. I'll start saving next week. I'll start putting aside next week. Look at some of these verses. Isaiah 46:4, Alex. Proverbs 22:1. Proverbs 22:1, Maria. Proverbs 27:1, Mary. How about if we go to Luke 16:1-3? We read Luke 6. Are you still in Luke 16?
Yes.
All right, verses 1 through 3. And then Matthew 25:27, Eric. Okay, let's read these in a row. Isaiah 46:4.
And even to your old age I am he, and even to your four hairs, and I will bear you, even I will carry and will deliver you.
Okay, I put that verse in there because there are some who use this passage of Scripture to say saving and investing is not really a faith issue, because you should really just trust God to provide. What would you say to that?
Sure, you recognize
what
the extra is, put it away.
Okay.
He will take care of you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So the way in which he takes care of you is by you not presuming and not procrastinating. If you apply that philosophy, it's not proper to save, just trust the Lord, then Joseph was completely out of line, right? And he was way off. And you could say, well, Joseph didn't have any faith because he didn't trust God to provide. Then people apply to say, well, look at Elijah. He went down and the ravens fed him. Well, that is true. The ravens did feed him. And God does promise that he will not leave you, not forsake you. However, there are numerous places throughout the entirety of Scripture where it says we don't presume upon the grace of God. Don't presume and don't procrastinate. Look at Proverbs 22:1. Oh, that's not what I want. Verse 3. All right, change that to verse 3. The prudent man, he foresees the evil, and he hides himself. The word hide is not cowering in fear. The idea is protection. He foresees that which is coming, danger. It's like you're driving down the road, and you see a sign says the bridge is out. Well, I'm going to just trust the Lord. He's going to help me defy gravity as I drive my car over this wide chasm. And and all of a sudden when you, boom, Lord, I told you the bridge was out. You presumed upon my good graces. It was Jesus when tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He said, tempt not the Lord thy God. When you told me to jump off the highest pinnacle of the temple that the Lord will protect me. No, don't tempt God. So therefore, saving and investing is not a measure by which you're not having faith. It is faith in God. It is trust in God. And it is a way by which you are depending upon Him for emergencies in the future. Look at Proverbs 27:1. Yeah, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. Now, the Lord may come. Praise God. You won't need savings then. But the Lord may not come. So you do need savings. You may have an accident or something may run into your car. Or your water heater may blow up. Or your furnace may go out. Or you may have an emergency medical situation. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why you plan and prepare. Luke 16:1-3.
He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a store, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg.
So because there was wasteful spending, what am I going to do? I have the incapacity. I'm not physically able to dig, meaning a menial job, menial labor, and I'm too proud to beg. What am I going to do now? Poor planning, presuming, wasteful spending, when there should have been saving and investing. Matthew 25:27.
Thou knowest therefore that I will put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own usury.
All right, so the same passage Jack read, these are two parables Jesus gives in regard to kingdom living. In the parable, it talks about the stewarding of God's resources. And the one said, I feared you, because I knew you were an austere man. You were a strong personality. You were pretty demanding. You're not very easygoing because you were bottom line, business. So I hid it. The man says, why didn't you just give it to the bank? At least I would have gained interest. All right, so savings and investing is something that is biblically mentioned.
Like I said, give us this day our daily bread. Paul didn't just work every day for that day's wage. So where was our opportunity? Tuesday. And invest.
Hold that thought, because we're going to tie that right into our day and age, because some people say, I can't afford to save. And that is happening in this society, in this in economic environment right now. A lot of inflation, wages are the same and such. So some people say, I can barely live paycheck to paycheck, and I'm supposed to now save? Hold that thought. With that in mind, I'm going to kind of keep on where we're at. Saving and investing avoids both presuming upon God's promised goodness and procrastinating with His entrusted. And this prevents unplanned, impulsive, wasteful, or foolish spending. Because when I'm thinking, this is God's money. And so therefore, I'm not going to go out and buy a gold-plated Lamborghini and go into debt on this and have a 17-year loan payment schedule that is $848 a month. And then my insurance, I got to pay an extra $250 a month because it's a super sports car and it's a dangerous vehicle. And therefore, and then my maintenance on it. If I want to get an oil change, it's going to cost me $3,428 because it's a foreign car and it needs a special filter and a special tool and you need special oil. And it's like, if I can afford it, it wouldn't be a problem. But if I can't afford it, that's foolish. Wasteful spending. I buy a whole bunch of food and I set it on the countertop and it doesn't get eaten. And after 2 days, it starts to perish. It starts to rot. After a week, it starts to stink. And after a week and a half, That food is now dripping and rotting. I have to throw it away. Wait a minute, why did I buy it in the first place? It was on sale. I got a great deal. 14 bushels of apples for $1.50 per bushel. That was really good. Was it wise, though, Paul? Yeah, if you didn't plan, say for instance, I didn't plan on going to McDonald's today, but I'm going to go anyway. Unplanned. Yeah, I probably should have used a better term than unplanned.
My own example. Last fall, my score blew up, and I had to go buy a new truck, and that's unplanned. But I need to get to work. So
yeah. You know what? Let's cross that word. Well, you don't have it in your notes. I'll cross it out myself. But unplanned, when you're looking at the rest of the words, impulsive, wasteful, foolish, I guess I could have used a better synonym than unplanned because expected. Yeah, thank you. There we go. Good job, guys. Yeah. All right. And the other thing is, look at the rich young farmer. I have had a great harvest. I'm going to build bigger barns. And that's where I'm going to store my goods, and I'll just eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord says to him, thou fool, tonight your soul shall be required of you. But then whose things are these going to be? Did you plan? Now this goes into estate planning and investing and ministering to the poor and the needy around you. But this man is selfish and miserly. And hoarding, that's not the same as saving or investing. I wrote myself a little bit of a note here as well. And it is saving money must never be motivated by fear. That's not trusting God. 1 Timothy 16 and even the Luke 19 passage where the man said, I'm going to just put it because I feared you. I'm going to put it under my mattress. And that was a savings account for a lot of people after they came through the Great Depression. You know why? Why did people start putting money under their mattresses or in secret places? What was the cause of that? Anybody remember? Okay, the Great Depression caused bank failures. So you can't trust your bank.
I can tell you my grandmother did that because when she hid her money underneath the bedroom lamp. In her bedroom.
Yeah.
And when I saw the amount of money that she had in there, it was like, Grandma, what are you doing? If you get into the EMT's got to get you out of bed, you can't trust them. So
yeah, yeah.
I ended up taking money.
Yeah, and that was the generational thing. Yeah. Yeah, stories have been told of people who buy an older house. I forget who it was. I don't know if it was somebody in our church, but it said, we had these French doors, and they just wouldn't close. And then we got in there to try to figure out what the mechanism, and all of a sudden we found a stash of money. And people stashed it up there and kept stashing it and stashing it to the tune of thousands of dollars. And then there's others who put it in floorboards or actually did bury it in their yards because they didn't trust banks. Banks failed. Failed? Even though now we have FDIC insurance, but even that is not altogether. That's only up to $250,000, and it'll take about 6 months till everything clears until you finally get to see any of it. And even then, you have to go through hoops and everything to get a hold of your money. So that's why a lot of people did this. So we don't save because of fear. Fear is never a driving factor for Christian living. Fear is always a self-centered mechanism that is really driven by our carnal nature. There is a certain element of trust, yes, but not fear. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what is going to happen if we're going to have another Great Depression. The forecasters are saying there's going to be a great crash. The housing market is going to crash. My value is going to be lost. Oh, and it could be the little mentality. The sky is falling. But we don't live in fear. The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear. And so, therefore, we don't live, we don't save because of fear. Or we don't save out of greed. I want more. Like it was Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers. How much is enough? Just $1 more. Just $1 more. Like you've got millions of dollars and you just... So there's a greedy, miserly mentality. That's that rich young ruler, and even the Proverbs mentions it. So we don't save and we don't invest out of those motivations. So if we don't save out of fear and we don't save out of greed, why do we save? We save so we know where the money is going and how to handle unexpected crises or emergencies. I would ask this question. Do you know how much money you spent last month? Do you know how much money you have available to save? Look at this. 65% of people do not know how much they spent. One of the assignments I give when we're doing premarital counseling or extramarital, postmarital, no, that's not even right. Any marital counseling, and it comes to finances. Oh boy, what a morning. I always encourage the couple, do this. In your first month of marriage or even before, write down for 30 days everything you spend. To the stick of gum, to gasoline, so that then at the end of the month you start dividing it up. Essentials, wants, what I can, and that really does make a big difference to know what you have available to work with. So, why do we save? Well, we got to know what we have. So, here we go. We've defined the terms, saving and investing. Number two, what is saving? Well, saving means regularly setting money aside for short term to prepare for unexpected, even unplanned, crises or pay for an upcoming item or an event. Okay? You see there the Proverbs 6, the ant. Why did the ant put and store food? For the winter. So they saved it up for the winter, because in the wintertime, how much food is available? Where are they going to get it? You look at a lot of the animal kingdom, and they're good savers. There are those even who predict the extremities of the winter by how much squirrels are gathering and how much chipmunks are gathering. And it's like, therefore it's going to be a bad winter. So if the animals have that kind of a sense, do we also? Well, that's going to really come out. But the one thing, and that may come also with our motivation. Why are we saving? What's our motivation? And there are some cases where leaving the children, the grandchildren, and the nieces, nephews with huge amounts has been more detrimental than beneficial. And we're going to get into that, because why are we investing? Why are we saving? And really, God has given you His amounts of money. He's given it to you. How do you handle that? And are you setting it aside so that you're able to handle any unexpected crises or to pay for a specific event? But when we come to estate planning, then you're going to look at how do we put aside for the next generation. And that's a relatively newer thing, because what happened in times past where there was not a lot of cash in accounts, the inheritance really was real property, houses, equipment, farms, and it just got passed down. And that meant that if you had that, you had to be responsible to keep it up. You had to have a work ethic to maintain it. And so there are those who, we'll get to that if that's okay. We'll hold on to that. But when you look at saving and when you think of the unexpected, how many of you have ever had an unexpected financial emergency? All right, every one of us have. What are some of these? Well, I know for myself personally, one of the emergencies we had was a vehicle, a transmission. And it's like, whoa, $3,000? Oh, I'm sorry, it was $1,800. This is going back, we had the blue Suburban. And it's like, okay, Lord. And you have a couple of options. You junk the vehicle because you can't afford to pay it, to pay the repair it. Or you take out a loan to be able to pay the $1,800. Or you dip into some savings that you had for such an occasion, a rainy day. You say, well, I only have $1,900. That's why you have it. So now you have $100. So now you start building it back up to get to that $1,900 again. And hopefully you don't have another transmission to pay. But it's always wise, because look at this. You set money aside to buy a home. I know there's some who have been saving money, or you're putting money aside because down payments for a house. I know family members just went through this, both my children. And they're looking at, okay, we need X amount of dollars for down payment. We need X amount of dollars for closing costs. Where's it going to come from? Well, you're saving and putting it aside. And you're setting it aside for that purpose. And here, too, this is a point that Kathy has made, because some children will go, hey, Dad, looking to buy a house, and we really need some extra cash. Can I borrow from you? Now, you could gift them. The IRS allows you to gift up to $13,000 per individual without any tax ramifications. So that could be that point you were making, Kathy, too, how that could work. Short-term savings. Now, you're going to go on a vacation. AAA estimates that the average American vacation is upwards between $6,000 and $10,000. That's the average vacation. The average a wedding is up there to be $75,000. I told my daughter, who is not yet married, I said, you better save him because Dad's not going to pay. But it all depends on the weddings. Now, if you can afford a $75,000 wedding, great. If you can afford a $7,500 wedding, great. You've got to know what you have, even the verses from Luke 16. What do you have to work with? And we're not keeping up with the Joneses mentality here. So if at the wedding you're serving peanut butter, jelly, and water for the reception, praise the Lord. That's just the way it works. So you're putting money aside for events or emergencies.
Save for your funeral, too.
Save it.
I need to say that. Save for your funeral, also.
Well, yeah, that's another thing.
It's about $14,000 in this area if you choose to, you know.
Right, it's conventional, normal standard.
With the frills. But the other thing is, I don't know where I heard it, but that the more, statistically, the more money you spend on the wedding, the greater the probability that the marriage will last.
Is that right? So we know a lot of marriages are going to last a long time because we have some that have been very frugal, a shoestring budget. But that's a good point. That is a good point because it'll come up in estate planning. Because there are people now not only prepaying their funeral expenses, but also pre-planning their actual funeral service. I just met with someone a week ago who wanted me to, after Judy's funeral, called and said, I want you to do my funeral. I said, well, I'm not hoping it's going to be anytime soon, but nevertheless, I will. So we sat down and talked about all the different things that this person wanted in their funeral service. And I said, well, let's make sure it's written so that when the time comes, there's no surprises. And so these are all things that you do when it comes to why do you save? And then you get to the point, ooh, I got some extra cash. Spend or save? What should I do? And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when you get extra cash, it's like, oh, I wanted this. That gold Lamborghini, gold plate Lamborghini is getting that much closer. Or I could use a new this, I could use a new that. And it's like, whoa, 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 hold on. A rule of thumb is this. If you come into any amount of money, whether it's inheritance or bonuses or gifts, don't do anything until you pray and wait for about 30 days. Okay? Because your perspective from the day that you receive it to that 30-day period is going to level off, okay? It is estimated that, and financial advisors say that the American household should have in between 3 to 6 months of savings for all living expenses. All right, so if you're under age 25, your average monthly expenses are about $3,863. 3 months' worth is $11,580. That's what you should have. Okay, in between 25 to 30, your expenses may be like $5,600. Okay, so you need about $16,000 in emergency contingency funds just in case if you lose a job or if you have a major house crisis, if you do go through a furnace, or if you do need a new refrigerator, or if you have a major car expense, need a new transmission. Look how it increases until you get to the age 65 and up. And some say, between ages 35 to 44, I need anywhere between $21,000 and $43,000? Whoa! I may never use it. You know something? You may never use your car insurance, but you have it as a proper mechanism for safety and protection. Why do you have insurance? I have a disability insurance policy. I've had it for I don't know how many years. I'm paying X amount per month, and I've never used it. And now I've got like 5 years left on it because after age 70, it's no longer in effect. So at age 70 and one day, if I get disabled, sorry, I paid all that money. Yep, I know, but the terms were this. But you have it in case you need it. And you have money set aside in case you need it. Why does the church have money set aside? In case we need it. We're going to be spending $21,000 on new stairs and a maintenance thing. We're spending $2,000 up to on a new water fountain. This building, as it gets older, is going to need. What about missionaries? What if a missionary has an emergency need? We can help them. And so forth. So it is a blessing to be able to see that we have something set aside. Any comments on that before we go on further? Now, how much, if anything, do you have saved at the moment if all your savings accounts are calculated up? Look at this. Representative survey among online U.S. adults, May of 2023. So it's about 19 months ago. One-third of the group surveyed have less than $1,000 in savings. Now, I'm looking around this group here. That means this side right here, I'm just by illustration, that's how many. Now you're thinking, well, yeah. Okay, so how do I deal with this? Adults. I don't know what that means other than adults. Yeah. But in any event, adults, that could mean retirees. It could mean those who just got into the workforce. It could mean young marrieds. It could mean anything. But that's a pretty telling tale. And you add, now you go a little further. It's about 57% less than $10,000. All right. Now, we're going to get into how to save. But right now, let's look at investments. Investing means incrementally setting money aside to increase wealth to reach long-term financial goals, long-term goals. Long-term goals mainly is retirement. Long-term goals would be like if I need to go into a facility, a care facility. Those are the long terms because we don't know. I'm thinking to myself, oh, what happens if I end up getting like incapacitated at age 70 and one day? All of a sudden I'm disabled, major stroke, paralyzed on the right side, unable to recover quickly. What's going to happen to me? I think my kids would take care of me, but I'm thinking, I don't want my kids to be burdened. But on the same token, it may be a ministry. Not that I'm wanting it to happen, but I want to prepare and plan in case it does take place. And the thing about this is the funds can be liquidated, and but they may recur involve fees and penalties. Do you know you can borrow from your IRA? You can borrow from your 401k, but you got to pay it back. And then on top of that, you got to pay it back with interest. You got to pay interest on your own money. Interesting. The rate of return depends on your strategy. High risk or low risk? Very aggressive or very conservative? The profit or loss is based on a variety of causes, such as, hey, a business can fail. You invested in that business, it failed, you're out. Stock market crash, we went through a number of stock market crashes. Stock market adjustments, interest rate changes, high and low. I remember as a kid, we had a passbook savings account, and at that point, it was 8%. 8% in a passbook savings account as a kid. Now I'm going back to the Jimmy Carter presidency era, and when inflation was high, and so were interest rates. Mortgages were sometimes 18 to 20%. So therefore, the commensurate interest rates on savings was that high as well. More than a moment, and this means risk. Now, at my age, I can't afford a lot of risk. Younger ones, I look at here, I talk to my son about this. He and I have similar genes when it comes to money matters and investment savings and deals and all that kind of stuff. And I said, if you can maximize right now at your age, if your company is going to match your contributing funds to an IRA, to a 401k, max it. Max it now. And then after 5 years or whatever, when it comes to children, when it comes to house, you can adjust it. But that'll continue to keep on growing. Max it. Max it now. I look at the teenagers and some of the young people. You need to start now investing because you have no guarantee of Social Security. There are people, I'll wait till Social Security. You have no guarantee it's going to be there. I remember in the 1970s, there was thoughts that the Social Security system was going to fail. Mm-hmm. But they increased the actual percentage of contributing to it. And now it's 7.65%. If you're self-employed, it's 15.3% because you pay your share and the company share, which is your company. So that means for every $1,000 that you earn, you're going to be paying $153. Yep. They invest that for you. So you have no, you can't do anything about that. However, you can do something about what you want to invest. Now, let's get to the nuts and the bolts of it in the last few moments that we have. How do you save? Saving involves developing the habit of putting money away and keeping it separate. This is a habit. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to have a commitment. This is not something for the faint of heart. Now, what that means is you have different savings accounts. Not the mattress. By the way, it's not a bad idea to keep a couple of dollars extra on hand in your house. Don't tell anybody, but keep some stash in a hidden place where if you need cash in an emergency, you need $500, you have it. You need $1,500, you have it. And it's always good to have some on hand. But there's also other savings accounts. Boy, there's all kinds. Money market accounts. What you do is you shop around and look for some that give you the highest interest rates. There are some right now that are paying 5%. But if they have fees, then you have to, and minimum balances, then you got to do some shopping and do your homework. If you're a bank, sit down with your bank and see what the best options that they have. They have money market accounts. You can have a joint savings account, you and your wife or you for your kids. They got reward savings accounts. You put money in certain things, they give you certain extra bonuses and such. You have a health savings account. You have a college saving account. If you just had a baby or you have small children or you have a niece or a nephew that's young, it's not a bad idea to put money into an account for them because college expenses is really getting enormous. I remember my younger brother, every birthday, the children would get a U.S. savings bond, a double E savings bond. And that kind of goes along with the line of investing and passing it down to the younger generation. And so when it came time from there to go to college 18 years later, that was a sizable, it was helpful. So savings, all different measures. Now, how exactly do you save? There are, how many have seen this? All kind of different ways to save. There are books that are out there. 230 ways to save money. Reuse your saran wrap. Wash your plastic knives, forks, and spoons. Put your styrofoam plates through the dishwasher to use them again. Use grocery bags for your garbage bags. Take your butter and use all the label, the actual coverings, and use them to butter your cake pans when you cook. There's all kinds of ways. There are some people, when they, I wrote some things down here. Other ways to save money include buying needed items on sale. My wife does grocery shopping based on sales. What are we eating? Whatever's on sale. When you look at shopping, thrift stores, half of my wardrobe is from We Kids. Some of you as well have been benefited by that. Some of your children. Doing some home repairs. I changed my own oil in my cars. Eating at home instead of eating out. That is becoming very expensive. Now, by the way, if you can afford this, if you can afford to go get your oil changed, your gold plated Lamborghini, then go for it. But if you can't, then look at ways to save. Research for lowest insurance premiums. Looking for coupons, discounts. You can do certain things around the house, adding insulation and different type of things to save money. But that is something which, the other thing you do, any extra money you get, you go back to that slide with the girl standing there with the cash, save or spend. Any bonus you get, any gifts for Christmas or birthdays or whatever, put it away. You need a discipline to do so, and that means you've got to handle on the spending. So if you can't, you can't. If you do, you do. Yeah, that's good. That's good philosophy. Yeah. And the key is start young. Teach your children very early. Frugality, saving, thrifting. Sales are a great place. And people have done this. I don't know what the term is called, but there are those who go to yard sales or thrift stores, buy up things that are real cheap, and then resell them on eBay. Oh, you, okay. I didn't see that, anybody. But that, hey, that's a good way to do it. There are people who are making money and saving money. So those are the things that you look at. What about investing? You need a plan and a strategy. And why is this? A plan and a strategy. Because 1 in 3 Americans has 0 saved for retirement. They're trusting in their Social Security, meaning they don't have a 401k plan company. There's no IRA. There's nothing set aside. Like in my age, as I'm getting older, I need to be in this category right here, or even over here. You see on the bottom of your sheet, there's a retirement calculator. At age, whatever you are, at what you're expecting to need to live, it'll take X amount of dollars in order to accomplish that.
The frustrating part with doing the IRAs and 401ks, you know, the government wants you to pull it out at a certain age.
Well, I know, so, I know that.
So,
yeah.
So if you've been saving your 401k, you've been working, you know, you might have $1 million in there. You've got to pull it out by the time you're...
Well, you don't have to pull it all out. You have to start drawing from it. So the thing is, you start drawing from it, and then you reinvest that. Yeah. But even there, if you have an IRA, 401k, and it reaches a certain threshold, the government does require that you start drawing from that. All right, so I start drawing from that, and I start reinvesting it. And I, you know, there's ways. You talk to a financial advisor, because there are all kind of different strategies for investment. And you need a good financial advisor. You need somebody who's got brokerage. You've got somebody who's a certified individual. They've got ways to invest. They've got ways to strategize and everything else. And there are different philosophies. Like I said, you've got an aggressive approach or you've got a very conservative approach. I've taken a more conservative approach. And it may not be the best from when I first started, I could have been more aggressive and come through these recent years. But hindsight's 20/20. You can't ever go back at woulda, coulda, shoulda. You are where you are now. That's your reality. You deal with your reality where you're at. And that financial advisor or planner is going to sit down with you. And that's where you got to be careful. How much fee am I paying? How much of a commission am I paying? How much is the rate of return, the dividends, taxability? All those things have to weigh into all this. By the way, you want to be diversified. You know what diversification means? You don't have all your eggs in one basket. And if you feel like, okay, I want to do some crypto, or I want to do gold, silver, they're projecting, you know, increases there, all kind of different things. And all these projections, it's never foolproof. I often thought that in 1987, if somebody would have said to me when I first got married and some of the wedding money we received, you know, there's this new company starting out. It's called Microsoft. You may think about putting maybe just $100 in there. You know, if you would have put $100 in Microsoft in 1987, you'd be a millionaire. But hindsight, again, is 20/20. But you really do want to be wise in your investments. And by the way, the rule of 72, you can apply this. And that means you will be able to know how long it's going to take to double your money. How long it's going to take to double your money. And this is an accounting rule. Those who are in finances, you probably know this. And that helps because you want to plan and you want to strategize. Now, on another note, look at this. If you take $100 and put it in a savings account and put $100 in thereafter each month at an interest rate of 4% compounded after 10 years, that $100 per month, which is $1,200 a year, that's $12,000, you're going to now have $14,874. After 20 years, you're now going to have $36,000. After 30 years, about $69,000. Now, if it is a 5% rate, and that's somewhere 5%, look at how it grows. And you set it aside, and here's where you can do saving and investing at the same time. You can do CDs. It's untouchable. The one nice thing about savings is it's liquid. You can get it anytime. When you have investments, you may not be able to get it right away. You have to wait. Like in my case, a 403B and a 401K, I have to be 59 and a half in order to access it. But I don't want to do that because let it keep on growing because it's going to grow more as it keeps on adding year by year. So when you look at this, now there's a calculator here for you as well. Savings goal calculator, compounded interest. You need to work this to see where you're at. Well, I can only afford $50 a month. Hey, $50 a month is better than nothing. But you need to get in the habit of putting it aside for your emergencies, putting it aside for planned. My wife and I are planning a vacation. Last year, we planned to do a big family thing together with everybody down in North Carolina. So we started saying, how much is it going to cost? How much is it going to cost for gas to get there? How much is it going to cost for groceries while we're there? How much is it going to cost for the ice cream we're going to eat out every night? How much is it going to cost for the lodging? How much is it going to cost? So you add that all up. We're going to need this amount of money. How are we going to get it? All right, so you set a goal. If I need, say, rough figure, if I need $1,000, and I've got 10 months until it arrives, $100 a month. That way, I got it. You know what else it does? Savings and investing reduces stress, worries, fears, anxieties, disturbances, internal struggles, health issues, and everything else. And by the way, God says you're a steward of his money. Saving and investing is a part of that. And if you say, well, I can't afford anything, you know what? Then start doing this. Start small. Take all your loose change and start there. Take it to the bank and start there. Or $5. Or every time I'm planning to go out for Starbucks for a super duper triple latte espresso deluxo, that's going to cost you $14. go to Wawa, join their coffee club, and pay 99 cents for any size. Take that $13 and put it away. If, over a week, when you go every day for that, that's $65 a week, 5 days. And on Sunday, when you're tempted to go over to the Amish market to buy one of those sticky buns that are $2.75 because there's no longer any on the day old for $1.50, take that $2.75 and put it away. I say that because that's something I do. I'm tempted. Those sticky buns are awesome. But see, that's discipline, commitment. If there will be an emergency, and there are events you're going to plan for. All right. Any final thoughts, comments, questions before we wrap this all up? I trust this has been helpful for you. It's a very practical lesson. A lot of biblical principle.
I think stewards also may be able to do the best on their own day if they understand that. So if you need to find it, the best man, you know, that's how, you know, that's got to be another research, you know.
Yeah.
You just don't want to take your time money investing. You want to.
Yeah.
You have to understand your money.
Right. You want to consult and talk to some financial advisor, some certified planner, somebody who's got fiduciary credibilities and credits. Start doing some research. Try to find a believer, the one that I'm working with and have been working with, and others that I'm talking to. I've surrounded myself not just with one, but quite a few. And that way you have a multitude of counselors or safety. Multitude of counselors are safety. I'd ask for a raise of hands, but I won't. How many of you, whatever stage of life you're at, have already set up and got together with a financial planner or somebody to start looking at long-term? Don't raise your hand. If you haven't, pray and think and start. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you give us what you give us. We live in a land of plenty. We really do. We've been given a lot. But I pray that we be good stewards, especially when it comes to saving and investing, but not out of fear and not out of hoarding. But Lord, the prudent man foresees the evil and he protects himself. Let us be prudent and let us be wise. And Lord, it even gives us further opportunity to minister to those who may be in need, or to missions, or to even younger generation. So give us grace, give us guidance, give us wisdom, and may we be godly stewards so we would hear, "Well done, good and faithful steward." In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.